Chof of Chetron, 4th of November, Rabbi Shaya Klein. Tea and coffee on Shabbos. This week's Torah has been sponsored by family David Silver to celebrate the birth in Chovot of the grandchildren, granddaughter, daughter of Yeshua Aaron and Zisi Silver.
Morning. Firstly, I don't think I said it, but Shkoyach to Dudu for inviting me to speak here. It's a pleasure to see the London Torah Way. It's probably one of the only things that London have copied Manchester.
Don't take it for granted.
But Baruch Hashem, it's been a good copy. Louder?
Okay. Yes.
Fine. So, it was about a year ago, maybe a bit longer, that Nescafe brought out a new gold blend. It could be it's been discussed here before, but it's a very interesting subject, exactly how to make Nescafe gold blend, but generally speaking, coffee and tea on Shabbos. It's an interesting subject, and the truth is, bichlal, when you're looking into practical halacha, it helps a person become more aware, more conscious of the fact that they're involved in avodas Hashem always. And it helps a person to bring down the idea of Shvisi Hashem and Negi Tomit. When you go into practical halachas. In fact, regarding brachas, I always noticed something very, very interesting regarding brachas. When I was in yeshiva, often people would be sitting around having like this busily type of creation. No one quite knew what they were. These cheap snacks. And I would ask a friend, can I have one please? And say, sure. I'd say, okay, what bracha is it? I don't know. Did you make a bracha? Yeah, of course I made a bracha. Well, what bracha did you make? I don't know. Because unfortunately, if you haven't learned halachas, then you're not aware. Things just become autopilot. And the amount of time it takes to make a bracha is the amount of time it takes to take the food from wherever it is into your mouth. So it just becomes and you don't do anything. When you learn practical halacha, then the person becomes more aware, more conscious of the fact that it's supposed to be following halacha, and is able to mekayim shvisa Hashem negi tomit. So let's go through this inyan. About, again, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get eventually to understanding gold blend, coffee, how to make that on Shabbos, but bichlal, the whole sugya of tea, coffee, baby formula, etc., etc. on Shabbos, and obviously as we go along we'll be seeing some other halachas as well. So let's start with the definition of what bishul is. So the Mishnah Berurah defines at the beginning of Siman Shin Yud Ches that bishul is softening or hardening food through the medium of heat. That's pretty much what he says. He gives a whole load of examples and he says klodish hodava, it's softening or hardening food through the medium of heat. So afia, baking itself, Mishnah Berurah puts it into the general category of bishul. And it's not just softening and hardening the place we speak out, it's generally something which is being improved through the medium of heat. Again, that's cooking, baking, roasting, all fall under the category of bishul. So that is the definition. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Dalet speaks out that there will be an issue of bishul, this definition of improving something through heat, there will be an issue of bishul with tea. Now he speaks that out. But he says it's clear that it's your bishul tea. L'chayr, it's poshut, of course, why not? You take tea leaves, you cook them. Of course there'll be an issue of bishul. So Rav Moshe speaks out, Rav Moshe is an Erechaim Chedek Beis Simen Pehe. Rav Moshe speaks out that I would have thought there is a Havamina that there'd be no issue whatsoever in cooking tea. That is because I'm not amazing into these things, but I've done a little bit of research. Rav Moshe speaks out that even tea, which is put into the teapot, not the tea bags, it's gone through some sort of air drying. It's gone through some sort of, some heat. And through that, it's been dried. The leaves have now been dried. So therefore, you may have said that's going through a roasting process. And therefore, when you now go and put them into hot water, it's a situation of bishul, achar, tzvi. It's been roasted, because it's been through some sort of heat process. And now when you put them into the teapot, it's bishul achatzli. And therefore, you may have said there's no issue. So let's just discuss for half a minute bishul achatzli. So the Shulchan Aruch does discuss it explicitly. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei talks about Bishul Acharafia. I think it's quite famous. Putting bread into soup. And the Mechaber brings
have
down.
Have you washed?
What was that?
Have you washed?
I hope so. The Mechaber talks about putting bread into soup on Shabbos. Talks about putting bread into soup on Shabbos. And he says that there are those that say it's forbidden to put bread into soup on Shabbos because of Bishul Achafir. It's been baked, and now you're putting into liquid. It's two different types of processes of Bishul, and therefore that would be an Issa. Bishul Achafir. Now, the Mechaber says a person shouldn't do it. The Ramah brings down Mekilim. The Ramah actually brings down those who are lenient and say that you can do Bishul Achafir. You can put your bread into your soup. Now, the Ramah says we should be careful, and the Ramah even says you should be careful even in the Keli Sheni. That means the Ramah says if you've got soup in the Keli Sheni, that means you've got your pot on the fire, that's the Keli Rishon, and then you move it over into a Keli Sheni, you pour from the pot into a bowl, the Ramah actually says a person should be careful not to put his bread into that bowl on Shabbos. He says, Yesh desire afid bikini shim, not to put your bread into soup on Shabbos. Because of Bishul Achafir. I'm not going to go into this too much, but practically speaking, most bowls of soup that we have in front of us are not so simple through a kini shini, because it hasn't been poured directly from the pot on the fire, rather, it's gone through a ladle. Therefore, there's more to rely on, and generally speaking, people do put the challah in the soup, people do put croutons in the soup. Again, because very bekit, there's three tzerufim there, there's three reasons to be makel. It could be there's no such thing as bishul achafir. It could be there's no issue doing it in a keli sheni, and it could be a ladle is an extra keli. Therefore, it could be it's a keli shlishi. But be that as it may, the point is, what I'm trying to bring from there is that there's a concept called yesh bishul achar afir. And the Ramah brings those who are lenient. But there's no issue at all of Bishul Achafir. That means you could even, there are those that hold, you can take your bread, once it's baked, and put it into the pot that was on the fire. Not while it's, you can put it on the pot that was on the fire. There's no issue whatsoever. Therefore, says Rav Moshe, when it comes to your tea leaves, which have been through this somewhat drying process through heat, because he made taina, that's baking, roasting, and therefore there's going to be no issue according to the mekilim that ain't bishul achafir. According to those that say there's no issue of cooking after baking or cooking after roasting, then it should be okay, even in the keli rishon, to cook your tea on Shabbos. But it says Rav Moshe, no, that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. There is an issue of bishul according to everyone with tea, because this drying business doesn't actually improve it at all. It just dries it. I don't know why they do it. I'm sure there's good reasons for it. It's probably more practical for storage, etc. But the point is, it does not improve the food at all. Therefore, there is going to be definitely an issue of bishul of tea in the keli rishon. What we're going to do is we're going to go through it.
Soup also. You mustn't mix up soup and tea.
What's that?
You were mixing up soup and tea.
Don't taste very nice.
You're talking about soup and tea at the same time.
Yes, same idea.
Same basic.
Same idea.
Okay.
Tea bags.
Oh, we're going to get there. We're going to get there right now. Okay, so stage one is we've cleared up. It's very clear. There's definitely an issue of bishul in a keli rishon. Why? Because tea's never been cooked before. So it's bishul. It's bishul. Okay. What's that? It's not. So what Rav Moshe is saying is that even though it's been through some sort of heat process in the past to dry out, he says that's not called a fear. Because although you're right, it's been through a drying process, it's not improved the tea. And therefore he says it's definitely asur mikulyan, even according to those that say yesh bishul achafir. So that's step one. That's keli rishon, problematic. Next, what about in a keli sheni? So what's a keli sheni? So the truth is, we've gone in keli sheni. A lot of people get confused. A keli sheni, according to the vast majority of poskim, is go to your Shabbos kettle, you pour into a cup. That is now a keli sheni. Yeah. That first cup from the kettle is a keli sheni, according to the vast majority of poskim. There is a chumra b'shem lechazan ish, that if loy nifsaka keluach, that if the flow has not stopped from the Shabbos kettle to the cup, then the cup will still be called the keli rishon. But that is not the consensus of the poskim. The vast majority of poskim consider the first cup from the Shabbos kettle to be your keli sheni. Okay, so what about putting tea into your keli sheni? So regarding this, there's two issues. I'm not talking about tea bags yet. Tea bags is the next point. let's talk about, I'm talking about regular tea first. So, keli sheni is the following. There's two issues with the keli sheni. Number one, the Mishnah Berurah speaks out that in a keli sheni, it's not really the Mishnah Berurah, it's really the Shulchan Aruch speaks out that in a keli sheni, if you've got a food that's never been cooked before, there's an issue of putting food into a keli sheni, even if we're going to say it's not going to get cooked in that keli sheni. Even if it's not going to get cooked. Because it's an issue of, anyone know what the issue is?
Softening.
No, even if it's not going to get cooked. There's an issue called mechzik mevashel. The Shulchan Aruch speaks it out. You can't put stuff which hasn't been cooked into a keli sheni. The Mishnah Berurah says it's an issue of mechzik mevashel. It looks like cooking. Something that has been cooked, there's no issue. But something which has never been cooked before, there's an issue of mechzik mevashel. It looks like cooking if you put it into a keli sheni. So that's problem number one with putting a tea into a keli sheni. Because it's never been cooked before. There's another problem which someone just mentioned. Someone just mentioned another problem putting tea into a keli sheni. I'm sure someone said something.
It will cook, actually.
It will cook. Tea. Well, not everything, not, yeah. The Gemara talks about a concept of certain foods being cooked in, even in a keli sheni. Generally speaking, we say that only things can only be cooked in a keli rishon. But the Gemara talks about certain foods being cooked even in a keli sheni, and it's called kali habishul. Things which are quick, they're easy to get cooked, and therefore there's an issue of them being cooked in the keli sheni. Therefore, with tea as well, there'll be an issue of kali habishul. So therefore, keli rishon, no. Bishul, and even keli sheni not, because of kali habishul and also mechzik mevashul. Let's move on. What about irui keli sheni? Pouring, so let's make it practical again. Shabbos kettle into a cup, your cup's now keli sheni. You put your tea leaves into your keli shlishi. Can you then pour from your keli sheni into your keli shlishi? It's pouring from the keli sheni into a keli shlishi. Is that an issue? So, on this, Rabbi Tzion Abishol's got an amazing chiddush, a very interesting chiddush. Says the following. He's regarding tea leaves, it's going to be a problem. He says the following though. He says, we see in halacha that irui, pouring from something into something else, can only cook a maximum of kedei klippa. Kedei klippa, an irui, pouring from something, can only cook the outer shell of whatever it's being poured into. Can only cook the outer shell. So says Rabbi Tzion Abishol the following. He says, fine. We want to say that keli sheni is still hot. Fine, okay. But you pour it now into the keli shlishi, the maximum it will cook is the outer shell. So if you're eating the tea leaves, it's a problem. Because you're going to cook the outer shell of the actual leaves. But in a tea bag, then there's no issue. He says, because a tea bag, you're not cooking the bag. You want to cook the leaves which are inside the bag.
Yeah,
and therefore you go from the, you pour from the keli sheni. What's your problem? You might cook the clip, but it's not a problem. And therefore he said it's okay to cook irui keli sheni. What's the question?
So straight to the leaf, the tea bag. It's only,
problem is, correct.
Only to cook it, to keep it together, but it's not...
Are you asking that it's also slightly perforated as well?
Yeah.
I don't understand it. I haven't seen it, but seen Abishol inside. I saw the Dirish Mishnah Berurah brought it down. And I don't know where Arad Sin is, so I haven't looked up inside. But yeah, I've got the question. It's perforated.
But it's in a keli shlishi though, isn't it?
So let's get... We're going to get to keli shlishi in a second. So if we'll discuss keli rishon, yeah. Keli sheni, iru keli sheni. The Maisa, generally the poskim do not agree with him, because even if you're going to say it only cooks kedei klippa, but how thin is kedei klippa? How thin is the outer shell? identical. Exactly, so therefore it could be.
Still cooking something.
Sorry?
You can claim.
Exactly.
The chilies that you're talking about, the chilies are not mummish chilies that you hardly get them. They're not mummish chilies. The chilies out of the bag.
Yeah.
So, where's the outer clip?
No, no. If they're not in the bag, if they're not in the bag, it's definitely a problem. If they're in the bag, then seeing Abba Shaul says it's okay. But in my sense, most of the poskim are not happy with that. What about Keli Shlishi? So Keli Shlishi, we can now get to a serious discussion. Regarding cooking your tea bags, tea leaves, and the Keli Shlishi, the chayr is okay. What's the problem? Bishul is regular Bishul's Keli Rishon. Kaleh Bishul means things which is easy for them to cook, is only in a Keli Shlishi. What's the problem with the Keli Shlishi? So on this, there's an Aruch HaShulchan, very important Aruch HaShulchan, which Rav Shlomo Zalman goes with, Rav Yashiv goes with, and he says the following. Aruch HaShulchan is also in Siman Shin Yud Ches in Hilchos Bishul. He says when you've got a Keli Shlishi, and it's cooking something, you put something into the Keli Shlishi, where Einenu Roos, he says our eyes can see it's being cooked in the Keli Shlishi, he says, then there's even Bishul in the Keli Shlishi. And he says, he's talking specifically about tea. He says, regarding tea, our eyes can see that it's being cooked.
So then again, a Mexican Vashel.
It's more than Mexican Vashel. He says it'll be Bishul Gomel.
Yeah, but what's he basing on? You can't just say Amen and Royce. It's going to be Mexican Vashel or Kali Bishul. What
So he says it's Kali Bishul. And I, Chazal, only talk about Keli Shlishi. He says, no, really, it's even more. It can even be further, as long as we can see it's getting cooked. Now, what you may be asking is 1 second. Who says we can see it being cooked? Is that what you're asking? Which is Reb Moshe's Taina. Reb Moshe and Igros Moshe, Taina is on the Aruch HaShulchan, direct. He says, what do you mean, Einenu Royes? He says, you put a tea bag, again, I haven't done the experiments, you put a tea bag in something which is not that warm at all, and also there'll be some sort of change. It'll also affect the water somewhat. It might happen faster if it's hotter. Again, I don't know the Mitzvahs, this is what Moshe says. It might happen faster if it's hotter, but the tea bag will still affect the water, even if it's colder. And therefore, Moshe argues, Moshe says, you can cook your tea bag in a Keli Shlishi, no problem. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan, Rav Shlomo Zalman goes with it, Rav Yashar goes with it, they all say you cannot cook tea in a Keli Shlishi. But Moshe does say a person can cook tea in a Keli Shlishi.
Put the tea bag in the cold water.
What did I say?
Put.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry?
Tea bag in the cold water. You also see cooking.
That's exactly the moisture timer. That's
exactly. Because I think it's just extracting the tea out of it. It's not cooking.
Yeah. That's the moisture timer. Okay. So, halacha l'maisa so far. Keli Shlishi, can tea be cooked in a Keli Shlishi? The answer is, yesh amri l'smoich. Moshe says you can. And therefore, if a person does that, they've got minhag to do that, then they've got certainly what to rely on. Those that are machmir not to, they've also certainly got what to rely on. It's Aruch HaShulchan, and again, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Rav Yashiv both go with it, and they say you cannot cook in a Keli Shlishi. Yeah.
I've noticed in Israel, they do make tea in a Keli Shlishi.
Yeah.
And this country we don't. I always wonder why, maybe because you don't really, you throw the tea away. You don't, you're not actually cooking the tea.
Still making a tea from the tea.
You're making tea, but you don't want the cooked tea leaves. So I just wonder whether this is kind of a heta somehow.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
So the fact that you chuck them in the
bin. I'd be interested to know.
Yeah.
To say I'm not going to do it. Take a little survey and Eric Stroll if he actually does it, because I that actually surprises me.
All the various, they all seem to use the
Keli Shlishi.
Tea bags in the Keli Shlishi. They follow the God. The Keli Shlishi, nothing cooks, and that's what they pass them.
Right. The Chazanish says that as well.
Yeah.
With the Svara of the Aruch HaShulchan, you don't suppose it's you can't do Keli. With the Svara of the Aruch HaShulchan, you'll be able to do Keli.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's it. Yeah.
Could you come back to Chalak?
Yes. Chalak, if you have taken from a ladle from your pot and you put it into your bowl of soup, then you can put Chalak.
Right, thank you.
What about
and croutons and whatever you want.
What do you say about the
Okay, good. So that's regarding That's regarding raw tea bags or tea leaves. We've got till 22, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's have a cup of tea. Let's have a.
Okay. In Manchester, they have 40 minutes. You haven't copied exactly. You'll get there eventually, Mitsham. Okay, fine, let's move on. So coffee. Okay, coffee has already been cooked. Tea's not been cooked already. Coffee, generally speaking, the coffee which we get in our job has already been cooked. It's already been cooked. What's the problem? Why can't you just take your coffee, put it in your cup, and put on, take straight from the shabbos kettle,
okay.
And that'll be perfectly mutter. It should be mutter, right? It's not mutter, we all know it's not. As we know, many people take about 15 cups and drink them from one to the next and they put the milk behind them and do all sorts of interesting stuff. Why? So let's go through it very, very, very quickly. The Shulchan Aruch speaks out that regarding adava yavish, regarding dry food, ein bishul acha bishul. Regarding dry food, there is no issue of cooking. That means if you've got...
It's dry.
Let's get there. If a person got kugel, if you've got kugel, which is completely dry, that can be reheated on Shabbos. You've got to do it in the correct way. You've got to do it in the correct way. For example, on an indirect way, you put it on top of another pot, on top of the hot plate, but it can be reheated. There's no issue with bishul. That is regarding dry food. However, yesh bishul acha bishul, v'davar lach. With liquid, there is an issue of bishul acha bishul. Okay. Fact. So what we now need to work out is if coffee is considered a dry food, a bishul acha bishul. And that should be absolutely fine. If it's considered a davar lach, considered liquid, if it's considered davar lach, a liquid, then there will be an issue of bishul acha bishul.
Coffee's dry.
Coffee's dry. Do you know who says that? Reb Moshe Feinstein says that. Reb Moshe says, may ikka hadin, you can take your coffee granules which are dry and cook them. Why not? Go to your Shabbos kettle, take your coffee, put on hot water, no issue. Why should we ask that?
How will they cook the coffee grounds?
They're cooked.
They're boiled. Were they cooked bishul or were they baked?
Bishul.
No, come on.
I want someone to tell me.
Milk.
That would it. No, because by then it'll be a kiddushin. What's the answer?
Surveyor.
The answer is, we'll get to survey in a second. The answer is that as you pour the hot water onto it, it becomes a davar lach. No one eats coffee granules. People drink coffee. It becomes a davar lach, it becomes a liquid. And therefore the other place can all speak out, Shlomo Zalman, another place we speak out, it's considered a davar lach and therefore it will be subject to bishul lach bishul. It will be a problem bishul lach bishul. What about pouring it into a kiddush? Can you pour it into a kiddush sheni? Can you do it with a kiddush sheni? L'chaira, yeah. There shouldn't be any issue with doing your coffee with a kiddush sheni. So practically speaking, how would you make coffee on Shabbos? This is where we get into Tavir. Practically speaking, how would you make coffee on Shabbos? You pour your hot water into one cup. That's a kiddush sheni. And then you can pour your granules into that. Because you're pouring it into a kiddush sheni. So therefore, that will be a l'chayr no problem. They're all machmirim. Rabbi Yashiv says there is room to be machmir. He doesn't say you should be machmir. He says it's a good thing to be machmir to only do it in keli shlishi because he's bothered about something else, which I'm not going into now. But even Rabbi Yashiv says if a person's worried about his coffee cooling down because he puts it into a keli shlishi, don't worry, he can do it in keli shlishi. So you can make coffee in keli shlishi, no problem. Fine. We're all together for the moment?
Why is there no merci?
There is no merci kumavash on something which has never been cooked in the past. It's only regarding something, I was supposed to speed it up. Merci kumavash only applies to something which has never been cooked. Coffee has already been cooked in the past. Okay, fine. So the choreo, there's no issue whatsoever in importing. Oh, good. So let's just quickly speak out what you mentioned a minute about Sivea. We've got 5 minutes, Mitzvah will do it. Okay. There's two things to be aware of. First thing is something which the Mishnah Berurah himself mentions, which is the following. He talks about taking tea essence. The right way, if a person wants to be machmir for tea, the right way to make tea on Shabbos is to prepare liquid from before Shabbos, cook it from before Shabbos. Now he says, really there's no issue of tzvi ba'ichnim. Tzvi ba'ichnim means dying food. change the colour of food. He says, Me'ikadin, there is no issue whatsoever. You don't need to be worried about it. He says, if you want to be machmeh for it, this is his lashon, people should not think this is an issue me'ikadin. It's not an issue me'ikadin. He says, if you want to be machmeh, it's a sharet siyum, in Sif Dalet. He says, if you want to be machmeh for tzvi ba'ichlin, then don't pour the tea into the hot water. Because if you pour your tea essence, the concentrate tea, into the hot water, then you're dying the hot water. If you want to be machmeh, he says, that's what you should do to be machmeh. Because of this.
But you don't want it.
In the Hanami. The truth is, he himself says the Chumrah. So a lot of people, therefore, what they do is, now we can sort of understand what people do. They do KD1, then they put their coffee into KD2, and they pour from KD1 into KD2. However, I was learning with my Chavrusa a few years ago, and we came across a halacha in Simon Shin Chof. Interesting halacha. The Mechaber speaks out that a person cannot be matal meraglayim, he cannot urinate onto snow on Shabbos.
It damages.
Not onto grass. He can't urinate onto snow on Shabbos because it's actively melting the snow. Now, machloikas, Mechaber brings machloikas. Mishnah Berurah says, where you can, you should be machme. Fine. So we were learning the sugya, and like we try and do, we were trying to make it practical. So thinking, how's that practical? When would that actually ever happen? And then we realized, if you've got your coffee granules, which at the moment are a solid, and you pour hot water onto the coffee granules, it's exactly the same thing. What you're doing is you're changing your solid into liquid. In the same way that being matal meraglayim onto snow is changing your solid to a liquid, and the Mishnah Berurah says, where you can, you should be machmir. If you can, you should be machmir. L'chor is so too over here. No one spoke about it. We finally found that Rabbi Falk spoke about it, and Rabbi Falk was worried about it. However, we saw, I think it was Rabbi Sin Abishol, was not worried about it, because he said, you're not actually, it's a very interesting svara. He said, you're not actually changing the coffee from solid to liquid. Rather, the solid is getting dispersed around the water.
Dipping granules and powder coffee.
What was that?
Dipping granules and powder.
Seemingly not. It'll be the same thing. Which is interesting, because we're saying it's remaining a solid just being dispersed. On the other hand, we're calling it a liquid regarding Bishul, which is, if we had more time, we'd discuss. Okay.
It sounded a little bit special.
Let's quickly finish off. Now, regarding gold blend. So, regarding gold blend, it came out a bit year or so ago. There was part of it which had not yet been cooked. It'd only been roasted, but not cooked. And therefore, a lot of poskim said, not a lot of poskim, there were those who were worried they should have the same din as tea. And we discussed regarding tea that, on the one hand, you got the Aruch HaShulchan, who says that in the Kedish Shlishi, a Nina Royos, we can see that it gets cooked, and therefore it's going to be a problem. And you got a Moshe, who is Mekel. And therefore, they wanted to say it'll be the same thing regarding gold blend, that according to the Aruch HaShulchan, you will not be able to do it in a Kedish Shlishi. However, although the avada, there is room to be machmeh, if a person wants to be machmeh, but it's not quite the same as the tea leaves. Because the Nescafe, even if it hasn't been cooked, it's still been roasted. And if you want to be machmeh over here, you'd be machmeh for three things altogether. You'd be machmeh for three things. You'd be machmeh number one to say that yesh bishul achatzli, which we quoted earlier on as machlikas. You're saying there's an issue of cooking after roasting. That's number one. You'd be machmeh to say that coffee is kaleh habishul, and therefore it can't be done even in the Kedish Sheni. And you'd be machmeh for the inin royos in the Kedish Shlishi, which are three chumras together. So, can a person be machmeh? Is there room to be machmeh? Of course. If a person makes coffee in the Kedish Shlishi, gold blend in the Kedish Shlishi, is that okay? Of course it's okay. He's certainly got what to rely on. And people shouldn't get confused, it's not the same as tea. So let's just do a quick sikkum.
What's and normal coffee? I'm not interested.
I'm going to speak it out very quickly. So let's just speak out tea, normal coffee, and gold blend. So tea, it's going to be machloikas, remoisha against Aruch HaShulchan and Rishleim Zaman, where remoisha says it's okay in the Kedish Shlishi, Aruch HaShulchan and Rishleim Zaman say it's not okay even in the Kedish Shlishi, it cannot be done at all, and therefore you should make an essence from your four Shabbos. You got regular coffee, which most regular coffee can be done even in the Kadish Lishi. There's one preference of pouring the coffee into the water, because if you do that, you haven't got the issue of melting the coffee. There's a mila of pouring from the Kadish Sheni into the coffee, because that way you don't have the problem of dying. But either way, they're just the chumras either way. And then regarding Goldblend, l'chayra, a person should try not to do it in the Kadish Sheni, because, as we spoke out earlier on, the Ramah says a person should be careful not to do Bishul Achatzli in the Kadish Sheni. And therefore, it should not be done in the Kadish Sheni. To do it in the Kadish Sheni, then, yeah, there is room for a chumra not to do in the Kadish Sheni. But certainly, it's okay for a person to do it in a Kadi Shlishi. Okay?
Let's go.
Lemon and a lemon tea.
Lemon, actual lemon.
Put a title on it, so we can come back to it, give it a name.